Carolyn, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Revere Town Hall for the Clinical Management of Hepatitis C Infection for CORI Funding Announcement, or PFA. This town hall is designed to provide guidance for reviewers. My name is Dr. Carolyn Mohan, and I am your merit review officer for this panel. I'm joined today by Program Officer Dr. Danielle Leisher and Contract Specialist Ms. Mary Gardner. Our town hall, next slide please. Our town hall should last about an hour, and we'll go over the following topics, including the purpose of this PFA, what to expect in the merit review cycle, as well as tips for writing the critique, which include how the methodology standards can be used and also some common critique issues. Finally, we will end with some sage wisdom from our veteran reviewers. But you don't have to wait for the end of the town hall before asking questions. Please feel free to submit questions via the chat function along the way or via the telephone at the end of the town hall. We'll respond to all questions towards the end. We'll get started now with an overview of the objectives of the PFA by Danielle.
Thank you, Carolyn. And I just want to start off by saying thank you all for being willing to take the time and put in the effort to be part of this review process. We really, really appreciate it. I also want to let you know that if you have questions specifically about the funding announcement or the contents of the funding announcement, you can type those into the chat function while I'm going through this presentation, and I'll address them right at the conclusion of my presentation before Carolyn moves into talking about the merit review process itself. Next slide. So I want to start off by just giving an overview of the funding announcement. So the objective of the Clinical Management of Hepatitis C Infection PCORI funding announcement is to address critical clinical and healthcare delivery choices faced by hepatitis C patients, their caregivers, clinicians, and/or the delivery systems where they are getting their care. And we seek to fund both clinical trials and observational studies. PCORI has devoted up to $50 million in total cost to fund research through this funding announcement. And individual applications were able to budget up to $20 million in total direct costs to support their projects, and were able to have a maximum project length of about 5 years, or of 5 years. I want to let you note that through this funding announcement, and you'll see this, can we actually go back to the last slide for a second? Because people were able, or applicants were able to budget up to $20 million in direct costs, what we ended up seeing is some very large budget studies that included a very diverse group of patients, or planned to include a very diverse group of patients, as well as some smaller budget studies, some of which focus on very specific patient subgroups of the larger population of individuals infected with hepatitis C. Both of these types of research projects are valuable and can contribute to a balanced portfolio around hepatitis C treatment and management. So when you're evaluating these studies as part of the merit review process, please consider the value of the information that will be generated in relationship to the overall proposed cost of the study. Next slide. So all of the research projects that were submitted in response to this funding announcement should have had some common essential characteristics. So specifically, all studies should compare the effectiveness of two or more alternative approaches to the treatment or management of hepatitis C infection. All should address one of four priority research questions identified in the funding announcement. And I'm going to go through those four questions next and give you some more information about those. All should also have strong endorsement and participation by patients and other relevant stakeholders, and take place within typical clinical care and community settings. And finally, all studies should have a sufficiently large study population to enable precise estimates of effect sizes and to support the evaluation of potential differences in intervention effectiveness in patient subgroups. So before going to the next slide, I also want to mention that when you're reviewing these applications, it's very important for you to consider whether applicants or whether you believe the applicant has adequately explained what important evidence gap their research study will address. And this relates to the very first merit review criterion that that Carolyn will go over later. Well, we also want you to think through whether you believe the application has adequately described how the results of the study could be used for guiding clinical decision making. And this relates to the second merit review criterion. Next slide. So as I mentioned, in the PCORI funding announcement for this topic, we identified four priority research questions. And these were identified through a multi-stakeholder prioritization process that occurred back in October of this year. So every application should address at least one of these four questions. And we have pre-screened all applications to make sure, at least from our perspective, we believe they're addressing at least one of these questions. So by the time they get to you, we've already looked at them and made this determination. But if for any reason you think we're wrong, please let Carolyn know. So the first question in the funding announcement was, how do new regimens of oral antiviral medications for the treatment of hepatitis C infection compare in long-term virologic response and adverse effects? The second question is, what are the comparative benefits and harms of treating patients with hepatitis C infection at the time of diagnosis versus waiting to treat only those patients who show early signs of progression of liver disease or other manifestations of hepatitis C infection? And we included a sub-question under this priority question number two. That could be a sub-aim of a larger project designed to understand this this treating early versus waiting to treat only patients who progress to signs of liver disease. And that sub-question is, what are the predictive factors of liver disease progression, and how should they be combined to predict patients at low risk of progression? The third priority research question is, which hepatitis C infection screening methods, confirmatory testing strategies, and clinical settings lead to the best rates of detection and linkage to treatment? And the final question is, what is the comparative effectiveness of interventions to support the care of hard-to-treat patients with chronic hepatitis C infection, and those include substance abusers, persons with complex medical regimens, and persons with mental illness, as measured by receipt of treatment, medication adherence, patient quality of life, and sustained virologic response. So I'm going to run through each of these questions one by one just to give you a little bit more information about what we were looking for in applications responding to each question. Next slide. So again, the first priority research question related to we were looking for head-to-head comparisons of different treatments for hepatitis C infection. So applications responding to this priority research question should directly compare distinctly different drug regimens, especially in populations with important disparities, important comorbidities, or difficult social conditions. What we're not interested in is research studies designed to compare different durations of the treatment, the same treatment regimen. So we're not interested in a study of 8 weeks of treatment A versus 12 weeks of treatment A. In the funding announcement, we also say that we are interested in adaptive designs that could accommodate the appearance of new treatments during the course of the study. So that's just something to be aware of when you're looking at these applications. Next slide. The second priority research question is actually pretty straightforward. We actually do spell out exactly what we're looking for in the question itself. So applications responding to this priority research question, again, should directly compare the effects of treating persons with hepatitis C infection directly after those persons are diagnosed to delaying treatment for those individuals until if they advance to the early stages of fibrosis. Next slide. So again, the third priority research question related to linking patients or persons to care after they received screening for a hepatitis C infection. So applications responding to this priority research question should directly compare strategies for linking hepatitis C screening to hepatitis C diagnosis, appropriate follow-up care, and ultimately treatment. And we are looking for studies that target populations at high risk of active infection, as well as pregnant women and hard-to-treat populations. If applications are proposing the use of screening tests that are not commercially available in the United States, we did ask applicants to ensure that the test will be made available for the study. And the final priority research question, again, was looking for comparisons of interventions to support the care of hard-to-treat patients with chronic hepatitis C infection. So applications responding to this priority research question should directly compare alternative models for providing supportive care for hepatitis C populations deemed hard to treat due to the risk of non-adherence and reinfection. So specifically, studies should target populations with substance abuse, with unmanaged depression or severe mental illness, as well as populations that lack adequate social support or populations that are taking complex drug regimens. PCORI is not interested in proposals that aim to study the efficacy of a new treatment model or of comparisons of a model to usual care. So we're most interested in studies that compare one intervention to another intervention, and we want both of those interventions to be based on some evidence or there to be some proof that they already are being used and seem to work in normal clinical settings, where the outstanding question really is which one of these two interventions is better. In my last slide, if we move to the next slide, is I just want to let you know that there are certain activities that are not supported through this funding announcement. And again, we have pre-screened all the applications, so we don't think that any of the applications engage in any of these activities. But again, if you think we're wrong, please let Carolyn know. So what we will not support are studies of decision aids, efficacy trials, studies that aim predominantly to do evidence synthesis or cost-effectiveness analysis, or research that aims to compare the overall cost of care between two or more alternatives and use the results to determine the preferred alternative. So before turning it back over to Carolyn, I just want to check if there were any chat questions. She's shaking her head. So if you do have any questions that come up while we're going through the rest of the presentation about the funding announcement, please feel free to type those into the chat and we'll address them at the end. So I'm going to turn the microphone back over to Carolyn.
Thanks, Danielle. Next slide, please. So this is just a brief reminder about key dates. You've already received your review assignments on June 4th. Your first written critiques are due no later than next Monday, which is June 15th, and all critiques are due no later than July 9th. The in-person panel meeting will be held on August 6th through the 7th here in Washington, D.C. Next slide. And now on to merit review. The goal of PCORI merit review is to identify applications that have the strongest potential to improve patient outcomes. Unlike some other funding agencies, PCORI includes patients and other stakeholders in the review process. PCORI also has additional review criteria such as patient centeredness and patient stakeholder engagement. We will go over these topics today. Next slide. Now, a little on the role of MROs, merit review officers. We're the lead responsible for organizing, managing, and ensuring the integrity of the merit review process at PCORI. PCORI seeks to ensure that all applications are provided with a fair and unbiased review by qualified reviewers. we're the primary point of contact for reviewers. It is important to highlight that MROs will provide feedback on all written critiques for all reviewers, including scientists. So if you are assigned 6 applications to review, you will receive feedback on all 6 of your written critiques. This process is a crucial part of the Bokorian merit review. Shortly, we'll talk about the type of feedback you may expect to receive. Next slide. Now let's talk about mentors. Patient and stakeholder reviewers have already received a virtual introduction to either Rachel or Scott, who will be your mentor for this panel. Rachel and Scott will work closely with me to provide support to our patient and stakeholder reviewers to help them to write high-quality critiques, to contribute their perspective and represent their communities at the in-person panel meeting, and to understand the processes and requirements of this merit review cycle. Mentors are also experienced Bokorian reviewers and have successfully served on numerous merit review panels. Next slide. At Bokori, each of our 3 types of reviewers contribute their comparative advantage and perspective. Next slide. Our scientist reviewers ensure that the applications they review include scientifically rigorous methods and that the study design is optimized to meet stated study goals. They assess whether the research team has the necessary experience and expertise and whether or not the research environment is supportive for the study to be conducted. Our scientist reviewers determine if the proposed timeline is realistic. They also review the applicant's adherence to Bokori's methodology standards and indicate any concerns regarding human subject protection, both of which we will discuss shortly. Next slide. Our patient reviewers reflect on their experiences when reviewing the applications and imagine themselves as partners in the research under consideration. Patient reviewers ask themselves if they would want to be involved in the proposed research and why not. Importantly, they generalize their experience and concerns to other patients with different conditions and experiences. Patient reviewers represent the interests of the patient community as a whole. In general, Bokori stakeholder reviewers represent a wide range of communities, including clinicians, health systems, purchasers, payers, industry, research, and training institutions. In this panel, we have stakeholders who represent the payer, pharmaceutical, and health systems perspective. For our payer stakeholder, we ask that you consider how the proposed research might affect healthcare payers, both public, such as Medicaid, and private, such as private health insurance. For our health systems and pharma stakeholders, we ask that you consider how the proposed research is relevant to your particular industry. Next slide. Now on to the written critiques. All our reviewers will write critiques of no more than 6 submitted applications. Your written critiques are a vitally important part of the Bokori merit review process. They're used in 3 major ways. First, your fellow reviewers rely on your expertise to correctly evaluate applications and bring your unique perspective and experience. Your critiques will be read by them and will serve as a guide for the in-person panel discussion. Secondly, our program staff will use your critiques and scores to set funding slates and also to inform contract negotiations. Feedback from reviewers helps programs effectively manage their portfolio by identifying points that should be considered at the contract negotiation phase. Finally, unsuccessful applicants are able to use the actionable feedback in your critiques to improve their applications for resubmission. Next slide, please. When you submit your critique, I will read it, provide written feedback, and return the critique to you for your revision. In the case of patient and stakeholder reviewers, I will work closely with Rachel and Scott, who will convey and explain the feedback in more detail and answer questions that you may have. Please make sure to first read all the feedback that is provided and make sure you understand the comments. Please ask if you have any questions regarding the comments you receive. Then address the feedback by making any necessary revisions to your critique. Next. Here's a snapshot of the offline template. Bokori has provided an offline written critique template to help guide you through the process of evaluating applications. We strongly recommend that you first complete your critique using the offline template and then simply cut and paste it into the online system. Copied here is an example of criterion 4, patient-centeredness. When reviewing each individual criterion, please consider whether the applicant adequately addresses each of the bulleted items. In this example, we see 5 bulleted items, including the definition of PCOR, patient-centered outcomes research. We ask that you identify strengths and weaknesses for each criterion, if possible, as a general guideline. Of course, a strong area of an application may have few weaknesses but numerous strengths, while a very weak area may have few strengths but a long list of weaknesses. Please note that strengths and weaknesses are listed immediately following dashes as indicated by the red arrow and not bullets. Please start typing right after the dash. Next. You have seen this graphic previously. These are the five PCORI review criteria. Scientific reviewers assess an application based on all of these five criteria. Patients and stakeholder reviewers are only required to respond to criteria 2, 4, and 5, but not criteria 1 and 3. Importantly, criteria 3, technical merit, is, to use an epidemiological term, necessary but not sufficient to receive PCORI funding. Applications must be scientifically meritorious and technically sound. This is a critical starting point. Scientific research must be well designed to contribute towards achieving study aims, without which patient-centeredness and patient-stakeholder engagement will not have an impact. Next. Our scientist reviewers are also required to address human subjects protection in their review. It is important that our scientist reviewers identify any concerns regarding human subjects protection that PCORI should review with potential awardees. Please note that concerns about protections to human subjects should not be factored into the application score, but should be flagged for PCORI staff by checking the appropriate box and providing written comments. Next. Scientist reviewers are asked to evaluate whether or not human subjects protections are sufficient. Questions to consider include whether or not the application adequately describes human subjects' involvement, characteristics and design, sources of materials, and potential risks. Does the application adequately describe recruitment and informed consent and protection against risk? Does it adequately describe how potential risks appear reasonable in relation to anticipated benefits? In relation to the importance of the knowledge that may result from the study? Next. This is just a reminder that patient and stakeholder reviewers, as I mentioned earlier, are required to review and score three criteria, while scientist reviewers are required to review and score all five criteria, as well as evaluate any concerns for human subjects protection. Next. Here's the PCORI scoring range. Please remember that at PCORI, lower numerical scores represent higher quality applications. Reviewers are asked to provide individual scores for each of their assigned review criteria, as well as an overall score. A score of 1 indicates a strong application, but a score of 9 indicates a weak application. It is important that scores and written narratives be in alignment. In fact, this is a common area of feedback provided by MROs to all reviewers. Okay. When identifying the strength of each criterion, consider whether it is a minor, moderate, or major strength. You can use these modifiers as guidelines to help in determining your score for that criterion. Next. Likewise, weaknesses can be identified as minor, moderate, or major. A minor weakness does not substantially lessen the impact of the study's results or on healthcare and or outcomes. A moderate weakness, though, would lessen the impact of the study's results, while a major weakness would seriously limit the impact of the study's results. Next. In addition to individual criteria scores, each reviewer will provide an overall score for each of their assigned applications. This overall score is not an average of the individual criterion scores, but rather driven by the overall strengths and weaknesses of the entire application. What do you think of the application as a whole? The ideal overall summary should include a statement that indicates the purpose of proposed research to provide context for other reviewers who have not read the application, and a statement that includes the likelihood that the study will exert a significant or major influence on public health would be useful. Stating expected impacts, such as if it would be major, moderate, or low. Next. Finally, a description of the study strengths and weaknesses, especially those which are driving your score, is recommended. You should not have a listing of all of the strengths and weaknesses of all of the previous criteria, but rather just the key strengths and weaknesses in your overall summary. Next. describe an application's strengths. Here are some examples of excerpts from written critiques. The second example states that methods to adequately monitor and statistically handle missing data are described. This applies to criterion 3, technical merit. I'll give you a moment to read the other examples on the slide for yourself. Here are some more examples of excerpts from written critiques. These examples address strengths of patient-centeredness and patient-stakeholder engagement, including co-learning and patients involved as full members of the investigative team. I'll give you another moment to read the rest of the slide on your own. When it comes to describing the application weaknesses in technical merit, here are some more examples from written critiques by fellow scientist reviewers, including issues of sample size, multi-level analysis, and the analysis plan. Next. And now a final set of examples of how to describe an application's weaknesses. These examples identify weaknesses surrounding patient engagement and patient-centeredness, such as involvement of advocacy organizations in dissemination of study results and issues surrounding health literacy. Next. Reviewers are provided with numerous resources, including the online reviewer training, which I sent to you as a PDF about a week ago, this reviewer town hall, the methodology standards guidance, and the human subjects protections guidance. Next. As part of our founding legislation, PCORI was charged with developing and improving methodology standards for comparative effectiveness research. The purpose of this is so that we can fund research that provides information that patients can trust. Rigorous methods are critical. The methodology standards are grouped into 11 broad categories, with the standards on the left being cross-cutting, that applies to all research, such as patient-centeredness. The standards on the right apply to particular research design, such as studies using data registries, for example. Next. All of our reviewers should refer to the methodology standards when reviewing an application. They are minimal standards for performing comparative effectiveness research. They are intended to provide helpful guidance to researchers and those who use research results. They reflect generally accepted best practices. They provide guidance for both project protocols and reporting of results and are used to assess the scientific rigor of applications. Please note that the context of research should drive the use of the standards. Not all of the standards will be relevant to a particular application based on that study's design. In addition to answering criterion-specific questions, the methodology standards should be used in evaluating the application. In the next few slides, we provide some illustrative examples of how the methodology standards can be used to address each of the five criteria. Please keep in mind these are illustrative examples and are not meant to be prescriptive or exhaustive. The standards do not have to be used as a checklist when reviewing applications, but rather as guidance. For criterion one, evaluating the impact and importance of the research aims, interventions, comparators, and outcomes, standards for formulating research questions can be used. This set of standards includes, but is not limited to, questions such as, has the research team conducted a rigorous gap analysis? Has the research team identified the specific populations affected by the condition and how current lack of evidence impacts this decision making? RQ refers to the standards for formulating research questions. Next. For criterion two, standards for formulating research questions can also be used, as well as the standards associated with patient-centeredness that speak to dissemination strategies. Next. For criterion three, for scientist reviewers, standards on data integrity and rigorous analysis and standards for preventing and handling missing data can be used in evaluating technical merit. Next.
one, please.
For criteria 4 and 5, some of the bolted questions in the offline template come directly from the methodology standards as noted in the slide. Please remember that the important question for patient-centeredness criterion is whether or not the research answers questions regarding outcomes that are important to patients. Now for criterion 5. For criterion 5, PCORI would like to know how engaged are patients and other relevant stakeholders in the research design, implementation, and dissemination of findings. Next slide. Let's take a moment to clearly differentiate between criterion 4 or 5, which concern patient-centeredness and patient engagement, respectively. While patient-centeredness refers to outcomes that matter to patients within the context of patient preferences, patient engagement refers to having patients, caregivers, and other stakeholders actively involved in the research rather than only as study subjects. PCORI seeks applications that demonstrate patient engagement through a plan that documents and details how patients were involved from the selection of the topic definition and the research questions through the dissemination of study findings. Now for engagement. Next slide. Applicants were provided with numerous engagement resources to assist them in writing their engagement plans, as noted in this slide, and so are you. The engagement rubric also gives reviewers some examples of engagement in research. Please note that proposals can include a variety of engagement approaches, which may or may not be reflected in the rubric. In other words, it's not exhaustive. Applicants were asked to describe an engagement plan in the research strategy. Next. Here's an overview of the engagement rubric, which includes four sections: planning and conducting the study, disseminating study results, and engagement principles. Next. For each section, potential activities are listed and examples that could be provided in the research proposal, as well as real-world examples. Next. So that was the engagement rubric. Now onto the engagement plan. The engagement plan provides examples of engagement plans taken from actual funded projects. It does not reflect all engagement and stakeholder plan models and does not reflect PCORI's endorsement. Next. Here's a snapshot of the engagement section of our website to give you an idea of what that looks like. It's another resource available to all our reviewers. Next. Okay, folks, we're in the home stretch now. Briefly, I'd like to talk a little bit about some common critique issues that you may encounter when writing your critiques, okay? So first of all, we ask that you not list the same point on the multiple criteria. Please don't list comments that are not appropriate for a specific criterion. And please don't write comments that are unrelated to the criterion. Please be sure that strengths and weaknesses that you list are directly related to each of the five individual criteria. Another critique issue arises when the narrative does not support the score given. It is important that the narrative text and the scores are in alignment. So for example, if you score a criterion of 7, 8, or 9, then your narrative should adequately reflect the weaknesses in the application. Finally, contradictory statements, such as the same issue being listed as both a strength and a weakness, can be problematic. If an issue is both a strength and a weakness, in your opinion, it is important to clearly state why you consider it to be so. Next slide. Some additional critique issues. Please don't quote large sections of text in your critique. Please write strengths and weaknesses in your own words as statements and not as questions. Lastly, the overall summary section, as mentioned earlier, should not be directly copied statements from the preceding individual criteria and comments, but rather a general summary of the application's key strengths and weaknesses. And now on to some helpful hints. Please start early to allow yourself sufficient time to review the applications and write your critique. Some reviewers have reported that it can take 4 to 6 hours to review and write the critique for one application. Please allow sufficient time to learn the PCORI online system. This is a different system than the Merit Reviewer portal where you indicated your COI and level of expertise. Please define acronyms when you first use them, and no esoteric or inflammatory language, please. And please do score each application against the PCORI criteria. Do not compare applications to each other, even though it may be interesting to do so. We really need you to score the application using the PCORI criteria. Next slide. Here's some advice from our veteran reviewers, which includes starting with reading the people and places section first, being specific about the issues that are driving your scoring, and not including personal stories about your own experiences or research. Next slide. One final slide with some more advice from our reviewers includes reminders that your own unique perspective is valuable in reviewing each application, and that trying to review your assigned applications quickly is not recommended. Getting started early is key for everyone. Before we open the lines for questions, we have one final word from Mary about your travel arrangements.
In about 2 weeks, you will receive an email registration from PCORI regarding the merit review. The email will provide you the merit review details. Please register and book your travel no later than the date indicated in the email. You will have to register online and contact the travel agency as specified in the letter. After completing the registration, we will then forward your information to the hotel for your lodging needs. After registering online, you will have to call the travel agency to book your flight or train. If you have any flight requirements, such as specific airline, direct flight, or special needs, the travel agency will do their best to accommodate your request as long as it is within the PCORI's merit review travel policy. The email that you will receive will have a link to the PCORI's merit review travel policy. Please remember that flight and hotel arrangements must be done through PCORI. The hotel for right now is actually to be determined, but it will be near the subway or train station. Please remember to bring your laptop and power cord to the merit review.
Thanks, Mary. Now we'll open up the lines for questions. You may ask questions via the chat function, as we mentioned earlier, which is on your computer, or by telephone, whichever is your preference.
So the floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. If at any time your question has been answered, you may press 7 again to disable your request. Please hold while we wait for the first question.
Okay, terrific. So one of the questions we have from Jason is, should grant writers note when a particular methodology is meant to address a standard? The reviewers don't have to look to see if the grant writer wrote, well, this is addressing PCORI methodology standard RQ1. They don't have to write that themselves. But you can note that, you yourself can note that they have addressed this methodology standard.
And oftentimes you'll see where an applicant is addressing a certain methodology standard or writing some text that they think relates to a methodology standard. They'll put the they'll make a reference to the number of the methodology standard that they are addressing in parentheses next to the sentence. So that's something that you can look for as general guidance.
We have a question for Yaron for Danielle. It says, second research priority question mentions comparison between treating patients at time of diagnosis and early stages of fibrosis. Is early a specific requirement, and if so, is it specifically defined?
So thank you for this question. I'm not sure what you mean by a specific requirement, but within the PFA, we do not define what we mean by early. We leave that up to the applicant, but it is something to look for in the application, and they should spell out who will be eligible for different times of their treatment based on a number of criteria, and one of those will often be the stage of fibrosis that the patient is at. If that doesn't help and you want to type a follow-up question, I can do my best to address that.
We also have a question from Tom asking if the slides will be made available to reviewers, and yes. The audio and the visual component of today's presentation will be made available. I will be sending them out to you as soon as we have the recording ready, which will definitely be before the end of the week. And I'll let you know when that's coming once I have that. So while we wait for any further questions, I just wanted to give you a reminder that your first written critique is due this Monday. This is just next week. And I know that some of you have not as yet accessed your applications online. So please, please be sure to do so as soon as possible, since your first critique is really fast approaching. Okay, and this is a mandatory deadline for all reviewers. I know sometimes we've had different rules concerning this in the past, but now we need all reviewers to submit their first critique by the Monday deadline. So if you have any questions, any concerns at all, please let me know and be sure to check in on PCORI online and be sure that you can access all of your applications.
Again, if you do have a question, please press the number 7 on your telephone keypad.
Do you have any other questions for Danielle on the PFA, on the priority questions?
We do have a question from Rachel. Ray, Rachel, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Rachel. I'm one of the mentors, and I just wanted to let all the reviewers know that that I'm here if there's any questions you have right now, or you can always email Scott or myself. Also, because it sounds kind of scary when we say that it will take 4 to 6 hours to review one application, I just wanted especially the newer reviewers to know that it will get faster as you do more and more. So it's not like this is going to take over your entire summer.
Many thanks, Rachel.
I have no other questions.
Michelle. We'll give another 1 or 2 minutes if anyone has questions they'd like to submit by telephone or by the chat function. So we have a question, can we get a copy of the slides? And yes, the slides will be provided to all our hepatitis C panelists as well as the recording, and that will be sent out before the end of the week. I'll send the recording as well as the slides together, so I just have to wait for the recording to be made available, and I'll send it to everyone.
We do have a question from Martha. Martha, go ahead.
Hi. It's not a question, but more a comment about a prior question about stage of fibrosis, because there's some variability. Looking quickly across the abstracts, it might be worthwhile if, as a group, before we meet in August, we figure out what's considered early, what's considered late, because that's some of the deciding point among payers as to funding for some of the treatments.
Thank you, Martha. I mean, Sister Danielle, we're certainly happy to engage in a conversation with you about that. You know, I think in these applications, the applicants really should have should provide a justification for the specific question that their application is looking to address. So if they are thinking specifically about that priority question number two that had to do with treating people early as soon as they're diagnosed versus treating only those people who have progressed to later stages of the disease, where, you know, as a reviewer, you should really be looking for that justification for why they chose a specific stage of the disease as their comparator arm. So that's one thing to think about. And if you don't see that justification, I think that is a big problem and something that should be raised in the critique and hopefully in the discussion in early August. So I would, again, look for that justification early on in the application. And then, again, when the applicant is talking about the inclusion-exclusion criteria for the different arms of the either the observational study or the randomized trial, depending on what design they've chosen to use to address that question.
Okay. I think, you know, just to add on to what Danielle just said, I think for our reviewers, particularly our new reviewers, it might be helpful for you, you know, taking a look at what our four priority questions are to just orient yourself when you open up your application and you're looking at it for the first time to just make a note, which priority question is this grantee applying to? Which question are they looking to find an answer to? Just to help you to think about, you know, what is important for this particular study.
Now, also, just to add on to what Carolyn said, this is Danielle again. Several of the applications are, in fact, addressing more than one of these, or I believe they're addressing more than one of these priority research questions. In the combination we saw probably most frequently is people who are designing a study to address both that priority question number one, which was the head-to-head studies of different treatments for hepatitis C, and question number two, which again is that early versus delayed treatment for patients who have been diagnosed with hepatitis C.
We'll wait one more minute to see if there are any further telephone queries or any chat questions. Okay, last call for any questions on the PFA and the written critiques.
We do have a question here from Yaron. Go ahead, please.
I just want to clarify based on, it's a question for Danielle and also based on what Martha said earlier. I think that currently a lot of payers are limiting treatment to patients with advanced fibrosis. And it wasn't clear to me whether the priority as decided by PCRI is for treatment at time of diagnosis versus early fibrosis, which as a clinician is a relatively defined term, or whether it is at time of diagnosis versus after disease progression, leaving the investigators more leeway to decide at what stage of disease progression they're interested at doing the comparison. I think what I'm trying to clarify is what is the priority of PCRI and whether it's specifically comparing a time of diagnosis to early stage of fibrosis, which is a very different question than time of diagnosis versus progression of disease. It's not the same question.
So thank you for this question, and you know, I think given that you and Martha are asking about it, what I'd like to do is circle back with some of my colleagues and we'll send you a more lengthy response in response to this question. Does that sound okay?
Definitely.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks for your question.
So those are our questions so far for the written critiques and for the PFA. Any questions about travel and what Mary presented? Okay, looks like everything is crystal clear. We're very happy to hear that. And as Danielle mentioned, we'll circle back around regarding priority question number two. We'll send out some information to our reviewers on that. And so we'd just like to wrap up by saying thank you to everyone for coming to our Revere Town Hall. And we will be, again, sending a recording of this audio and also a PDF of the slides that you saw. Thanks again, and please feel free to follow up with Rachel, with Scott, or myself for any and all questions regarding the hepatitis C panel. Thanks again. Have a good afternoon.
Yes, thank you, and we look forward to meeting you in August.
Bye.